than bound, get my feelings checked at the door.
That's right, Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to texaslinuxfest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound, get my eyes set on the price. The time is now.
Psst, psst, oi, over here. You want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. I picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner, it's a bargain. Oi, oi, come back. Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OggCamp event, organised by Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit oggcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Riff Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
All right, and that was episode 348. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Snap time.
So,
thank you.
I'm Pat.
Showtime! It's five more minutes of promos, and that's the entire show.
You want me to play us out?
Play us out, Dan. I have to do the Allen thing. Play us out, Dan.
And I see challenges and anything down there.
Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gather's just about to begin.
Dobo for the next hour, Claudio says. Claudio, you have no idea how much Dobo we have. And let me also mention that you probably have no idea how much really horrible Dobo we have. Our very favorite Dobo song is pretty good, and some of them are really, really out there.
Yeah, and that's just
about a place. You ought to play one of them, one of the ones that are, or, you know, one sometimes.
I mean, we have five CDs of Dobo songs.
Some of them are completely strange.
I think some of them, I think you more to the point, a few of them are kind of on the edge of normal, and the rest of them are just way out there. It's a shame that they're no longer around producing music.
I really dug some of that stuff. It's pretty fun to listen to.
I honestly wonder if anybody else outside of our community even knows what Dobo is.
I don't know.
I mean, somewhere somebody must have.
Only the guys in Dobo know about Dobo.
Well, we could all thank Link for Dobo.
Hey, it's a thing that they sent us some music, because...
Oh, yeah, you know what,
we've been beating that horse for years now.
And you know what, they will, as long as we're around, there'll always be Dobo to be played.
That's right, man.
In the world. for those new listeners who do not know, Doba is the dreamt of by armadillos. And what more could you ever ask for?
I don't
Doba.
I don't think there is anything else.
I'll be back in a few, folks.
Oh, where you going? You just pop in to tell us you're going to be back in a few?
I'll explain later.
Got to poop, huh?
I do, Gorkon.
He's making some Chex Mix.
Oh, my son's being a little jerk, but...
Understandable. Take your time. Family comes first.
Yeah, we have kids too. I know how that works.
What's new on the Android front?
Excuse me. Android 2.1 got my 2.1 release yesterday in the morning.
What do you think?
And I think it's pretty interesting. I like the what they did in this one, I guess, was like they did that pinch, shrink, and expand deal on the maps and the pictures and stuff like that. So they put that on there, and the picture browser widget. Hang on, what the hell is it called?
Let's go get your notes together
gallery.
Before you start gabbing about them.
Yeah, it's called Gallery.
Nice,
Gallery is much, much better looking, I think. It's functional before, but it really didn't have like the form to it. It was pretty blocky and plain Jane stuff, and now it's really cool. It's got little pictures together and like little Polaroid shots. And
how about the animated backgrounds? You got that on there?
Backgrounds are really cool. I like that a lot, but I don't use them because when I use them, I notice that it slows the phone down. Not horribly, mind you, but when the animated backgrounds are on and you flip up the menu from the bottom, it doesn't scroll as smooth anymore. It's a little bit, a little bit blocky when it scrolls.
Well, some people were reporting that on the Droid that there was a little bit of a performance hit doing certain things. Have you noticed any slowdowns?
Just that when I have those backgrounds turned on, the animated backgrounds. Other than that, no. Everything else appears to work, the same as it did before, as far as I can tell.
Cool. Glad it went well for you.
But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I think it is, a little harder on the processor than the previous version was, but, this is what their first, big revision. And hopefully, they'll have another small one or so, and that'll fix that, and they'll tighten some code up a little bit, and it'll be good to go. And I hear that, I'm sure they can do it because you hear the rooted operating systems that they have, the replacement ones. I guess they have stuff where you can go in there and overclock the processor and all kinds of stuff. So I'm sure they'll get their stuff together. But for all practical purposes, runs pretty good. I mean, I made some phone calls on it and tinkered with it and played my games and watched a movie on the way home on the train today, and it runs like it did before, so works for me. Something.
Now we're all happy.
On the IRC, Riddlebox is saying you wish that you could tether. You can tether. If you don't root your phone, the way to do tethering is via the SDK. If you look at my blog, I have a little how-to and some links on how to do it. It's pretty simple. You just have to have the software development kit installed on your machine. And using the debugging stuff that you have in there for transferring files and and pushing stuff back and forth from your phone to your machine via cable, you can tether. Okay. Now, if you do root your phone, you know, there are wireless tether options out there. You can do it via Wi-Fi or via Bluetooth. When I had my G1, I was running CyanogenMod and it was rooted. I could run all those wireless tether apps. But my Nexus, it explicitly says in the warranty that if you root it, you're going to kill the warranty. So I just got the phone, so I'm not rooting right now. And I did tethering via the non-root SDK method.
Not to mention, if you don't root your phone right, you can brick it.
I'm sure. There's always the chance that you could do that. But if you follow the more well-known guides, should be okay. I never had any problems with the G1.
Oh, man up and do it anyhow. If you brick it, just buy a new one. It's the American way.
Yeah, it's only
sick
right?
of me. Yeah. Just sell it to somebody.
Sure.
You know what I wasn't aware of, speaking of phones, I didn't ever catch on to the fact that Alan gave his phone to Lord D. His iPhone.
Whoa.
He must have some kind of relationship going on outside that we don't know about.
Well,
it's
now.
Not a mystery.
Uh-huh.
He keeps things quiet, you know what I mean?
What do you have to say about that, Alan? Uh-oh, the silent treatment. We must be on to something. Because we all know silence equals consent.
Oh, he's hiding in the stove, eh?
Speaking of fun times, how was your shindig on the weekend? I'm sorry I could not make it.
Oh, you missed out. You missed out. We had some good food and some good people and some good drinking, and it was a good time, and it was perfect weather.
I know, I'm so jealous, man. It was a beautiful
weekend.
Well,
you know, when you can get out this way, Dan, we'll have another get-together out there.
If we could do it in the summertime, that would be great, like in July, after we recuperate from self in July.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome. And maybe Bring Russ
on,
can
man.
Come back.
Yeah, Russ had a good time, too. He'd come back. In fact, he said that next time he's going to think about his dad, because his dad would dig it there, too.
Oh, his dad was there?
No, he didn't come this time. And, after he came this time, he thinks his dad would dig it there, too. I bet he would. Russ's dad's pretty cool.
Who wouldn't dig it there?
No, it's awesome.
That's sweetness. Damn. All right. Have any of you guys ever tried out any of the project manager software for Linux?
Such as?
Well, there's GNOME Planner, and there is... Now I gotta go look them all up.
I would love to use any of those, except I am stuck using, Microsoft Project.
Oh, yeah?
Project Server, which I absolutely hate. I would love to use any of the open source ones, because I think that they would work, obviously work much, much better, because you don't have to have, you know, Windows to run that crap.
Yeah, there's five of them that I can name right off the bat. Task Juggler, Gantt Project, which is Java-based, Planner, which is the GNOME project management tool, OpenProj, which is the desktop replacement of Microsoft Project, and KOffice, KPlato. I have tried, I believe, OpenProj and Planner.
Now, I've used OpenProj before to open up Microsoft Project files, and that does work.
I think there is compatibility. I settled on using the GNOME Planner. I really like that one a lot.
What about all the PHP based like project servers, I guess I'm going for, not just the desktop stuff.
Well, there's like OpenGoo has something, eGroupware, .project, Redmine. There's another one, I can't remember what it's called, that's a PHP-based project management. What was that? Let's see if I can find that. I don't know if it's still under development anymore. Or maybe it switched to, there's .project, which is open source software, .project.net. It's open source project management tool. Maybe it changed its name. I thought it was under some other name, or there was another one that I was familiar with. I wanted something that was kind of like a desktop client. I didn't want to set up, because I'm using it for work, obviously, since I have to do that kind of stuff now, manage projects. And I like it. It's been very helpful. Although, I find myself with project management software, and I would assume that Microsoft Project would be the same way, I find myself having to learn to use the tool the way it should be instead of the way I would like to use it.
No!
Yeah. Like, I haven't found one of them that like, gives me exactly what I want. Which means maybe I should just write my own.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's a lot of time and effort, and I'm lazy. Not a lot of free time these days.
Ah, malarkey.
I'll consider, but I've been digging Planner, and it's nice that the save file for that is portable, and I can take it if I need to go somewhere else. I could just either rsync it somewhere or copy it to my netbook and fire it up elsewhere and go mobile with it. It's very convenient. I do like it. Although .dot project looks pretty interesting. .project.net. I wonder if they have any screenshots. I don't see any. That's what I say. So you get stuck using Microsoft Project. Do you have to use project management software at work, Pat?
Not really.
Come again?
You get stuck using Microsoft Project.
Yeah, right? I have to.
Crap, yep.
What don't you like about it?
One time.
I don't like anything about it at all.
But it's considered like the de facto project management app that everybody looks up to.
You know what? I don't know why it would be considered de facto project management. What my honest opinion of project management software like that is it's software to make someone who is not busy look like they're busy. You know what I mean? I don't think that, because it's so overly complicated, I don't think that it really lends itself to being a help for managing projects. I think what it is, an overly complicated piece of reporting software, and it really doesn't even function like you would think that it should function. You know what I mean? Like, It's very difficult to update unless you're updating it manually. For instance, like if you have a project where you have a whole bunch of servers that are listed in there as items, and you want to update, you know, it's difficult to update the status on large groups of items at the same time unless you manually do it or you know, group them and do all kinds of funny things. It's also difficult to, once your project is underway, it's difficult to add and to remove them and reorder things without a bunch of malarkey. It's there's no good report mechanism in there that I found to do things like you can request a report from someone who has who holds someone who's assigned an item to do on there. You can request that they give you an update through this management software stuff. But what you can't do, or what I couldn't figure out how to do, was like, I can't build a report of stuff that's going on and share it amongst all the people who have an interest in the project, unless you make it a document. You know, like, you have to go, it's the dumbest thing. They have this reporting section where you think you would do that, right? You'd make a little report, put it in the reporting section, and then flag everybody, and everybody would notify there's a report there waiting for them. No, it doesn't work that way. What you have to do, if you have a report that you want to share with everybody on the project, is you have to make a Word doc, an office document with your report in it, and then share it in this, like, web dev-enabled share area. And then you have to, you know, notify people in some manner that there's documents there that they can look at. And perhaps a look or whatever. And I just thought that was really kind of counterintuitive to me. And, you know, my thing with, if it's a project that other people are working on, you should be able to go to the report section and create a report, or, you know, an explanatory piece of text or whatever. And then just click on, you know, tell everybody that this is here somewhere. And it would be, and tell them they had to, you know, read the directions or documentation or whatever. So, no, I just really don't like it, I guess. Now I've ranted for 10 minutes about it.
What don't you like?
Exactly.
Sorry for coming in late.
Can you turn yourself up?
Can I? Sure.
Yeah, turn yourself up.
Alright.
Turn it up a little louder.
So I don't sound like myself then, huh?
Well, no, I can't hear you. You're very, very soft. No, you're really soft. And we want to hear you. We're talking about project management software. I'll tell you what, man. Link, you're doing a heck of a lot more with project management software than I am. I just like managing a few projects. What?
Is that better?
A little louder?
Let me make sure that Kaiga didn't grab the wrong card. I should be doing really good right now. Of course, it might be, I wonder if it's that fan.
Should be an R. Two different things, pal.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, you know, Dan, it's probably, you and I probably have a lot different idea about what constitutes
better
project management than Microsoft does, and that's really what it amounts to.
Oh,
better?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I turned the gain up a little bit, so turn up the audio. Better, good, better. Sorry for coming in so late, guys.
No, it's better.
Project management software.
Just don't let it happen again, Joel.
Yeah.
My experience with it has not been good myself either. Mostly because what happens is management grabs into something, they get all enthralled and say, okay, you're going to report all your stuff on this project through here. And it goes good for maybe one project, and then all of a sudden, nothing. You know, and what I find is mainly the problem. It's not software so much as the methodology you're going to use with project managing.
It's very time consuming, isn't it?
It is very time consuming because they want you to do all these little edits up into their little system, and the project manager doesn't want to do any work. To actually doing the managing of the project. basically, probably the biggest problem I find with most projects, and see if you guys agree with me, is they don't get the tech staff involved early enough. And they already have the software decided upon. They already have purchased the software sometimes. And sometimes it's not always the best idea. sound feasible? what happened to me.
Do you use what project management software do you use?
Right now we're using something called Team Dynamics.
Have you
heard of it before?
No.
It's web-based. It actually, believe it or not, has a whole lot of Facebook crap added to it. It's horrible. The most horrific web software I have ever used. And I've used a lot of it. I mean, if it's Web 2.0 enabled, I use it. Or have used it. And this one attempts to be Web 2.0. But I'll give you a good example. If you're trying to create a ticket for somebody else, say, hey, I did my crap, now you do your crap. Alright? It will, instead of you just being able to type the name and it does auto lookups and stuff, you actually have to click in the box, bring up another box, type in the email address there, like jmmcleugh or whatever your email address is, and then pick the right person and then go on from there. Instead of just being able to do it right from the text box on the front screen, it's bad. It's just really bad usability. The worst software I've ever written. And of course, it's all based on SQL Server backend.
Well, that that
active
that's,
server pages.
That makes it perfect, right? Is that ActiveServer.net?
Yes.
Excellent.
I think it is. Yeah.
Well,
Silverlighty.
That's
good. Well, I take it back. It's not Silverlight. There's no Silverlight because I can't actually use it in Linux. But but nobody really uses it the right way. I've had so many projects that come up that, you know, that started off supposedly being a month-long thing and it ends up going into 6 months because, well, nobody really paid attention to actually think about all the little things. And then there's the six-month project that turns into a year project because nobody got the tech staff involved to the get-go and say, oh, wait a minute, you guys don't use the standard way of managing user IDs. You use your own way, so it's going to be more difficult and take more time and all that stuff. You know, like I said, it's critical. If anybody non-technical, not that there is anybody non-technical that listens to this show, if you're non-technical or you're involved in project management at all, please get the sysadmins, get the people that actually have to do the work involved from the beginning, let them have input. They're not dumb. That's what I said.
Now that I sit back and look at what I'm doing in GNOME Planner, I'm like, crap, I ain't doing half the stuff you guys are doing with project management. I'm just using it for my own personal knowledge.
Really, you're
not an educational school.
Yeah, you really should. What the stuff we're doing in there, we probably shouldn't be doing in there. Really, as far as I'm concerned, the ideal project management system would be simply a way to assign and track tasks and maybe automate message delivery, right, amongst the people you have tasks assigned, and maybe a very rudimentary reporting system, like something where you can go, all right, how far along is this project, and it would say it's 50% complete.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Something
simple like that. Anything else that becomes more and more complicated, it takes so much time to deal with your project management software. It takes more time to deal with the project that way than it does to actually do the damn project. And it's just counterproductive, I think. But, you know,
absolutely,
that's my opinion, and what are you going to do?
Now, see, the way I've been using GNOME Planner is I put in all my resources, which are my employees, what I do is I set up a task, which is essentially, you know, this is based on property management company, and it'd be like, all right, this task, this project management company, a subtask of creating a mock of the site, which would be the graphic designer, and I create that task and say, well, it should take him like let's take him like 4 hours to create this mock, and we're going to spread it over 2 days. So it'll be like 2 hours a day. And it does a pretty good job of tracking, you know, keeping that up, putting it on the graph so I can see, you know, a start date of this time, and then I can plug in like the next task somebody's going to have, like, all right, we're going to build a website, we'll say ballpark 120 hours over 20 days, so that's like 6 hours a day dedicated to that, and spread it out, and then starting at this time of the month on this date, and by X amount of time it should be finished. And it's easier for me to track like that and looking at the charts. And I found it's very helpful, although I'm still trying to get used to the way that the charts or the resource lists are laid out to easily look at the graph and say, you know, when we got this project coming down the pike, I can say, at the earliest, unless we bump something around, we can start this on May 5th, given that everything else goes fine. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's done a great job for that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should be. But, part of this, like I said, it's entirely how you take it. Now, we've gone through actual training on project management, believe it or not. Fun stuff. Anyway, plus I've actually taken some classes on it, so I know what I'm doing with that kind of stuff. You know, probably the biggest mistake really in all of that is actually not planning. You know what I mean? Just going and starting and planning off actions and stuff like that, and not, without going through and deciding, okay, well, what's your critical features? What do you need? You know, a lot of times the users don't know what they really need. They say, well, they just want X product. You know what I mean? Or In Link's case, XX Muckety Muck wants some super high computing cluster that he's never, ever set up before. In that case, your task number one is training. To get your training, to get you up to speed so you can know what you need to learn to do that. And a lot of people, that training usually gets left off, and they'll say, oh, you'll learn it as you do it. Well, that's not the right way to learn it. That's not the right way to learn a project. That actually makes it, even though it seems like the training takes extra time at the beginning, getting that training at the beginning is so important to learning what you're doing. You know, you're going to be taking care of this. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of people think, well, once the project's done, the project's done. No, it's not done. The project really never ends. There's always a maintenance cycle. I mean, the project proper ends, but you still have maintenance on it. You might have future improvements to whatever you're implementing. Maybe you decide that, hey, the product that you implemented didn't have X feature enabled at the beginning. Now it's time, you know, we have to have another project later on down the road to implement that. So it's important that the users know what they want. Unfortunately, they're probably the least important, or the least ones able to tell you what they need.
Hey, you know what? Time and time again, that's what always ends up being the problem, isn't it? Especially with technology.
Absolutely.
They throw technology at us. They throw technology at us at a problem and expect it to be a solution, but they never go that next step of training people. Like, all right, well, here's this whole wonderful office suite that you can use, and this project management, and here's Visio, and it costs thousands of dollars, let's dump it on everybody's computer, and then wonder why all they do is use it as a glorified text editor. And
there you go.
Yeah, people are taking notes on scraps of paper, napkins, and things get lost, diagrams are all messed up. And maybe that's the solution right there, scraps of paper.
Right.
We don't need $1,000 productivity suites. Right, Link?
But sometimes a great board is more intuitive than a multi-$1,000 piece of software. In fact, a lot of times.
Absolutely.
Ain't that the truth?
A lot of times. Most of the time.
Well, it depends on how complicated. Right. Well, it depends on how complicated the thing is. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's the issue that I, like I said, that's what I run into a lot, is that the stuff that I would want to do for a project, I think it's sort of counterintuitive to use a giant project planning suite, software suite, to accomplish it. It's you know, especially one that requires me to use Windows.
To use Project?
Yeah, I have to use Microsoft Project, yeah.
They got the SharePoint back end too?
Yep.
Link actually requests Microsoft Project. You didn't hear that at the beginning there, Joel. He said, I've tried all the rest, now I want the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, supposedly, the new Project Server stuff is going to be... and a next release or an upcoming release is going to be Firefox compatible. So I'm hoping that that means that they're going to switch stuff from ActiveX to Java, which will make things a lot easier.
Oh, hell no. That's not going to happen.
It's going to be a plugin, and it's going to be Silverlight. mark my words. And you'll have to run Windows because Moonlight won't work.
It just, that's, you know, it really does not make sense to do that, especially when there are people on different platforms.
Hey,
why would you pinhole yourself into something like that?
Because they don't care about people on different platforms.
That's right.
Yeah,
They care about, they say, well, 99% of the world uses Windows. Well, that ain't true anymore. I'm sorry.
No, it's not true anymore.
No, it's not.
99%, maybe 80% of the United States, maybe, but there's a lot of other countries out there that don't use any of it at all anymore. So,
well, what about it'll run under
thing of the world.
It'll run under OS 10 though, won't it?
I was gonna say, here's the funny thing, man. Here's what's gonna happen, and this is why I think the iPad's semi good for the world. Because
this is going to be good.
The iPad.
Where's Pat?
No, it's going to be really good. Because the iPad cannot do Flash, HTML5 is going to come back up, and all this stuff is going to go. You know, that won't work on the iPad will start to become better on Linux. Makes sense.
If you're yes and no.
Chrome.
Yeah. Yes and no.
Chrome.
Yes and no, and this is a good foray into the recent fiddling I've done with HTML5. The reason I say yes and no is because I think that is true. However, I'm not entirely sure that it's going to be HTML5 that does it. And the reason I'm saying that is because they haven't got their shit together yet. HTML5 is good looking on the outset, like the ideals behind it are good. However, the implementation so far is very, very, it's very, very early on into its implementation.
Right.
We haven't standardized on a code yet, whether it's going to be OGG stuff, which I think it probably should be, or whether it's going to be H.264 or whatever. There's sources that will support MP3 and stuff like that, too. You know, they'll maybe DRM-enabled media and things like that. And it's really cool getting that stuff in there, but if you don't have a standardized support set, then what are you going to do? The other problem is that it's not standardized across browser platforms yet. For instance, when I did an HTML test site over here the other day, I tried it in Chrome, Google Chrome, which was kind of cool, and it opened it up in Firefox. It looked quite different. And I'm assuming that that means it would look more, you know, even more different under the various instances of Internet Explorer or whatever. It's just very young technology yet. Yeah.
Right.
Like Firefox, I opened it up in Firefox and my media was there. It played. It did everything that it was supposed to do. It just the text rendering and block grouping was different than it was under Chrome. And like I said, I'm sure that means that it's different yet under Internet Explorer. I'm sure it will come around. But the thing is, it's very young. It's still in its infancy yet. And I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot of hashing going on back and forth before we get something that's robust and usable between different platforms and standardized. I'm hoping it happens sooner rather than later, but I'm not going to bet on it. So I'm not entirely sure whether or not all this business with the iPad not having Flash is going to, you know, turn into an HTML5 battle. It might be something else even more different.
But
Let's see how it plays out.
I really think it's going to happen that way because, you know, the Apple idiots. They're going to say, why does your website why doesn't it work with the
That's great, iPad. But then you got to get the Apple guys to standardize on something in HTML5. If that happens, they standardize on a subset of those rules, then that probably will push those, you know, to being the standard set of stuff over there with HTML5. If they don't and they pursue something else, then that's going to push a large community segment in a direction. You know what I mean? So it's really, I think it's too early to tell how, you know, my best wishes and my best hopes is that HTML5 is going to settle down and get standardized. They're going to pick a codec that they like and their packaging system, and hopefully it's going to be OGG. And, you know, we can just go with, and that'll be awesome. That would be a really huge boon for Linux, especially if it's Theora, right? If they standardize on, like, H.264 or something like that, that really is not going to help us out at all.
Right, you know? But HTML5 is not all about video. It's a very big thing.
Well, no, that's video and audio. That's video and audio, and that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only reason at this point in time to even look at HTML5, because of the inline support for audio and video. If you're not doing that, then go right back to HTML 4.something transitional, because you get much more functionality out of that. It's more robust right now.
Right.
Well, you know, we do a lot of work coding towards HTML5. There's a lot of standardization that still needs to be done, and you're going to see a lot more support very quickly in the newer releases of browsers, especially Firefox, Chrome, the WebKit browsers. I would probably guess Safari, not so fast with Internet Explorer because that never releases as fast as the rest of them, but I think a lot faster than
nothing
is
fast
with
Internet Explorer.
Aren't they in IE9 now, beta, I think?
Yeah. But you're going to see that plus CSS3, which there still needs to be a lot of standardization done on CSS3, because there's some really cool functionality in HTML5 with CSS3 that there's too much browser-specific coding that you have to do to make it appear the same way across other browsers.
But basically, ideally, though, HTML5 plus CSS3 could definitely kill Flash. You think so? I do.
I think it does have the potential, although I'm kind of I think it would be great to have it as a competitor. I think Flash needs a competitor. My concern, just like what Link had said before, my concern is if they settle on the codec being H.264, that makes it a lot more difficult to legally utilize it in anything but without paying for that codec. Which you get, Apple has paid a license for that codec to be used in a specific way. I think they upped that license until 2012, because it was supposed to expire, was it this year, that being able to use 264 freely to stream on the web without having to acquire a separate commercial license. I think they pay for that. How Google is going to incorporate that functionality in the Chrome and whether that's going to be made available to Linux, I don't know. I think they have said it might be, but I don't know.
I think they have.
Well, you got. What would be nice is if the functionality for either was in there, but I understand that given either, it creates a problem of, well, this site uses this, so I can't go to this site without having that, and this site uses 264, that site uses OGG. But, I mean, Wikipedia said they're going to OGG Theora. A couple other
actually,
sites
you
said
know what,
going
Dan?
To OGG Theora.
When I was... Is my freaking mic on? I think it is. Yeah, when I was playing with it the other day, I was doing some audio testing, right? Because I wanted to build an HTML5 page for the site that people could go to and just, you know, they could play whatever freaking OGG file they wanted, whatever. When I was doing the audio testing, I found that you could add different source files in the same audio tag or the same video tag that had different
codecs.
That had different codecs, and whichever one was supported would be the one that played. Or you can alternately have a note on there that says, "I'm sorry, but your browser doesn't support blah." So it is possible to have multiple codecs in there. However, that also is kind of it's kind of a crappy way to do things, because you're going to run into incompatibilities no matter what you do somewhere. You know what I mean? And then you also have to have, if they keep doing everything that way, you would have to have 15 different types of, you know, media codec for whatever file you're trying to play, right, instead of standardizing on one that would play everywhere. It would just be a nightmare. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know they wanted to get away from that and having, like, the whole, quote, plug-in architecture thing. They wanted to use one standard. And, again, that comes down to the fact that if that standard is a proprietary standard, that's a problem.
Yeah, if they standardize... Well, you know what's going to happen? If they standardize on H.264, they're also going to have the plug-in thing where you can play OGG or something, too. And it's just going to... Like I said, it makes double the media space necessary for anything you do on any website. Unless, of course, you just leave the Linux guys out and, you know, flying on the breeze.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them, though.
But you look at it this way, though. In some respects, I look at this as kind of going back to what we used to have before Flash, in that it really mattered what codec you use. You know, there was a big prevalence for Windows Media before that time on a whole bunch of different video sites. You know, when Flash came out, it kind of made things more universal a little bit, you know. So in some ways it's okay, but I mean, Adobe really needs to, I mean, either way, Adobe still needs to work on Flash, especially if they want it to be a competitor. I think it's horrific right now. It's worse now than it was when we first got Flash back way back when. In Linux, anyway.
Like I said last week, I see an incredible performance improvement in Flash when running it under Chrome.
Yep.
It doesn't cause as many problems.
Yeah.
Doesn't break your browser, huh?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even really.
All the time.
It doesn't for me. I've been really successful. I'm probably not going to the same porn sites as you, Joel. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, I play. I go to
actually,
YouTube.
I use HTML5.
I've been meaning to switch over to HTML5 on YouTube.
It works great. I love it. It streams faster. It's smooth, a hell of a lot smoother than Flash, and I the only reason I can think that might be is maybe because things are more hardware accelerated in Chrome. You know, I don't know. I just can't explain why it just seems to be working. Works better for me than the Flash version. It just does. It looks better and everything. So it starts instantly too. Which goes to my next streaming media experiment, was getting Netflix working on the Wii without having the disc.
Well,
that works.
I look forward to seeing the evolution of HTML5. I don't look forward to the what is it, Joel? You got your finger on the pulse of the iPad, obviously, because you're all into that with the tech.
I do.
Gear. Yeah, I figure. You know, my impression from what I understood is the iPad was announced. People went crazy. A week later, they were like, you know, really, it's not that great. And now all I hear is it's the next thing to slice bread. The greatest things in sliced bread. You know, what is it?
Really, I keep hearing people complaining that the wireless network ducks on it.
Yeah. Okay. Now let me address that one too. On the Geared Area team, we have at least 3, maybe 4 different people that has bought the iPad. In fact, we're giving one away too. It's Judy herself. She has not seen any Wi-Fi issues at all.
Wait a minute. Wait. Before you go any further.
Right.
You're giving away an iPad.
The Gear Diary is giving away an iPad. We'll be announcing the winner April 15th. Every day from now. For the next 7 days, you can have a chance to enter and win an iPad and jailbreak it, too.
Do they ever give away any non-Apple products?
Yes, they do. Hey, we give away a new SOSD to you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought that was you. I didn't realize that was Gear Diary. sorry, continue on.
Anyway, I think the big thing is... I don't know. See, to me, I look at it as I'm not. I want one, but just because the sheer factor of just wanting to see what's so great about it, you know, it might be one of those ones. If I ever bought one, it might be one of those things where I kind of buy it and then get rid of it quickly. But just sitting back on a couch, you know, I think that's what it's ideal for. Sitting back on a couch. Watching TV or a movie, looking up crap on IMDb, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a media consumption device. It's not designed for looking up stuff or media creation so much as it's designed to just consume it. I think situations I think the iPad's going to be great for is just kicking back and watching a video. Maybe if you took it on like on the train, like Link is on the train, and you probably want to watch it on the biggest screen you can theoretically carry on the train.
I'll tell you what, Joel, and you know this to Judy and whoever else you want to on Gear Diary, why don't you send it to me, and I'll let you know what I think about it. You can have a genuine review from your favorite Linux curmudgeon. I would be happy to let you know
what do you think of the iPad, Link? What do you think of it?
What's that?
Do you want one? Do you want an iPad? You know,
I would love to get one for a couple of days to look at it. You know what I mean? To put it through its paces and see.
Yes.
Whether it actually carries any value or not, you know what I mean?
Right. But now what I think is going to be better, now a lot of people say, well, it's not, because the Juju doesn't, I guess from my understanding with the Juju, which is what's become of the Crunchpad project, the Juju is web only from what they're saying. However, it runs on an Atom processor. The Juju is based on an Atom chip. So
well, I'll tell you what, I heard that the Juju is actually shipping now.
It is.
And I have been in contact with, hopefully somebody over there will listen. I've been in contact with the person over there in media relations.
Really?
Yeah, let me see if I can find her name. Dun, dun,
can
dun,
you send
dun,
me
dun.
The email address? Because I would love to review.
Megan Alpers. Okay, Megan Alpers from the Fusion Garage PR team. And that's Mia at thejuju.com. TheJoojoo.com. Please, everybody, listen to me. Media at thejuju.com. I've been in contact with this person to try and get one of these things to review show so that we can tell you guys what this thing is really like running Linux and whether or not you should think about getting one. I have not gotten a whole lot of response back from these people. So, really? If you find people that are listening to the show and on IRC or whatever would like to send an email to media at and tell them that you really would like to hear a review about the Juju on the Linux Link Tech Show and that they should get back a hold of me, that would be cool. Because I really would like to see what this thing is all about and whether or not, you know, we should endorse this type of thing over an iPad. I mean, I know that Pat is dying for the iPad, but I would like to see some other alternatives, you know.
Me too. I want to see some of the Tegra-based stuff. I think those are going to be pretty awesome, too. The NVIDIA Tegra base. I think Creative's making one, I think. I thought HP was doing one, too.
I think HP's coming out with something that's going to, a pad that's going to be running Android, I thought.
Right.
And I think that's awesome. You know what I mean? That would be an incredible thing. I would love to get my fingers on something like that for a couple days and check it out.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm
excited about
my friend
it.
My friend Dan Cohen, he reviewed the Arcos 5. I don't know if you've ever read any of his stuff, but he is Apple fanboy to the extreme, as far as I'm concerned. but he said it might be valid, it might not be, but Arcos is another one that has been very not forthcoming on sending out samples or even responding to media contacts. But anyway, but he said it wasn't very good for multiple reasons. Some were that Android Marketplace wasn't in there, and other things of that nature. But I have to look around. I don't know if it's been rooted yet, but the top end of the Arcos 5 tops out at 500 gigabytes. And, dude, that is a ton of storage for a small device like that. And, that would be awesome. It's just a little bit thicker than a regular media device, like an iPad or a Touch. But I emailed the group and asked if anyone has asked for Juju for a review. And Dan wrote me, "Good luck, dudes."
Yeah, well, when I talked with them, what I got was they had already, or the excuse I got anyway, is they had already given out. Let me see what it says. With regard to your request, our first batch of Juju review units has been committed to journalists we met with at the time of the product's announcement. But we appreciate your interest, and we are happy to follow up with you as soon as we have a unit available. However, now they're shipping. I've seen it in several instances in news stories where it says that they're shipping, and I've contacted them again about it and have received no reply back yet. Anyway, so like you can't tell everybody that they're shipping and then tell me that there's no review units.
You know who I think should do a Linux-based tablet? I think Joe should do one.
Oh yeah, man, that would be awesome.
Zero's tablet, you know, it would be open as hell.
Oh yeah, that would be way cool.
I mean, now I've been using the NVIDIA-based version of the Link. In fact, I still haven't sent back the old one yet. I gotta get that done in the next week or so. But they upped everything. It's all running. It's running Karmic now. If you order one today, it's gonna come with the Karmic with the netbook release. It's smooth as hell. Plus, they just added I don't know if I know that Joe's gonna start selling these soon. They're gonna have a completely silent version of the Link with the NVIDIA graphics card running off the flash drive. But what they've done is they've taken the CPU fan off the heatsink and replaced it with a 120 millimeter fluid bearing fan. And let me tell you, it's on right now, and I can't hear it.
Awesome.
And I'm three feet away from it. I mean, it's incredible. Although I have to say, go with and take the time to upgrade to a hard drive. It just opens up more abilities. You're really constrained with the four gigabyte flash drive. And if anything, at least go buy a bigger flash drive. Get an 8 or a 32 gig. Something bigger, just to kind of give you a little bit more wiggle room with software and stuff to install out of the repos. The only thing I can say right now is if you buy one, don't install or don't attempt to install Miro right now. Miro has some weird dependencies, and it actually deinstalls the NVIDIA graphics drivers that enable the VDPAU. And it kind of breaks the hell out of X too, so I had to restore. And luckily, even though now they don't have the actual image for download yet up on the Neuros website, I'm looking forward to having that. I want to download a copy and keep it somewhere. But I was able to use a DD to swap the hard drives in it, because he initially, when he sent it, new one to me, he sent it only with a 40 gig hard drive, which is kind of small. The one I had a 320. And I talked to Joe, and he said, yeah, swap it out. I don't care. Joe's cool like that. You know, he also sent me the new lid with the fan on it. So today I actually had to pull off the heatsink, pull out the old fan on the top of the CPU, and then put that new one on. And it's been on a good 45 minutes right now. So, and the only thing that I have to say about it right now is, if you don't have the chemo, or if you don't order one with the chemo, get the chemo, because it's needed. You can't. They don't have a on-screen keyboard. For basically, if you're in Firefox, you can deal with the little remote, the handheld remote, because Joe pre-installed a on-screen keyboard plug-in to Firefox. So you can fire Firefox up, and just with the little one-handed remote, you can actually sit there and enter in a URL if you have to. It'll be kind of tedious, but you can do it. Other than that, the remote's really great for when you're just dinking around with XBMC or Boxy. If you don't have to do any text entry, then you can just live with the little one-handed remote. So I'm just dying to get a TV to plug this sucker into. You plugged yours into a TV yet, Link?
Yes and no. I have it plugged into my 32-inch LCD TV.
Okay, all right.
However, I could not use the HDMI to do it.
Really? Huh.
When I use HDMI, it just keeps turning on and turning off, on and turning off.
Huh.
I don't know. Well, it's the screen, like it's acting like it's not getting video.
Huh.
Like it's seeing the video source keeps coming on and off. And I don't know if I don't have anything else to check it with, so I don't know whether it's the TV that's doing it, or if it's just not getting a good signal from the crappy cable I have, or if it's from the crappy video card that's in the Link. I'm not sure. However, when I took a PC VGA cable, you know, and hooked it between the link and the PC input on the TV, it's awesome. It works great.
Right. Cool. See, and that's the cool thing about it. And that ATI graphics card in that. If I were you, I'd ask him if he can send you one with the new ones. Swap it out.
Yeah.
He might be willing to do that. But my only question for Joe with that is especially now with the Zotac boxes out there, why don't they consider building for Neuros 2, build it with based on one of those, even smaller than the current link, you know, make it little teeny tiny little box, you know. I think that would be awesome. Because they could do it. There's no reason that they couldn't do it. You probably could boot the ROM image, the image that they provide for the link. You can probably boot the image that I have on one of those Zotac boxes straight away, and it should work. It's mostly straight Ubuntu. I haven't looked at. Let me look at. I want to see if the new image has any of the Neuros repositories, but. They did do some things with the. I know on the version that you have, Link, there are some Neuros run repos in the system by default.
No, they're definitely there. Yeah.
So I don't know what was in the repo. That's one of those things where I'm gonna have to research that a little bit. My full review is gonna be, it's gonna be a massive. On Gear Diary, but it's going to be out hopefully by the end of the week. In the dryer. So, but it's they did a really great job with it, and I'd almost, it's one of those things where if Joe offered me the right money, I'd move to Chicago to go help him. I don't know what I could do for him, but. He has they put the PD the PPA for the NVIDIA VDPAU driver. He's got a Google repo in there for Google for something. Metabuntu's in there, and two Neuros TV ones. So. Actually, it looks like the same repo, even, and they're labeled as Intrepid repos. So, but and the Boxy repo.
Does Boxy come standard on it now?
Yes, brand new.
That's cool.
The brand new one. Yes, it comes standard.
Yeah, because they're brand new with hard drives, right?
Well. You can order one. I know if you order it straight away, it doesn't have. It's still shipping on the 4 gig flash drive.
Okay.
However, Joe does have a kit that you can purchase that gives you the SATA cables and even a standard IDE cables for putting a hard drive or slimline DVD player. I think that's one thing I want to do is I want to get a slimline DVD player to put in there. Which I think that would be awesome. Just stick it in there and just watch it right on there. Because that's one thing I've noticed. I actually had this little project going all week. I've been on vacation.
Get yourself a slimline Blu-ray player.
That'd be cool. But one thing I've been doing is I've been trying to rip all of my DVDs, and what I'm noticing is some of the games that Sony and Disney play trying to stop that from happening.
Now, how many DVDs are we talking about, Joel?
30 or 40 at least.
Where are you going to, what kind of media are you saving them on? Are you really making backup copies for yourself, or you're ripping them and putting them on a hard drive somewhere?
I'm just ripping them I'm just ripping them to straight MPEG-4, viewable on the Neuros OSD. I'm ripping it straight to a hard drive. And basically, one game they play is like, for example, I have this the movie Bolt. It was given to my son for a gift. It's a Disney film. This DVD actually shows up as having 99 titles on it.
Right.
And almost every title is exactly the length of the movie. Now, if you just pick the first one, it'll rip, but what'll happen is the ending sequence and the beginning sequence will be there, but then the movie will be all scrambled up.
Right.
Like, you might have part of the middle of the movie at the first chapter, so on and so forth. My trick to finding that is fire it up in VLC, find out get it to the point where the movie's playing regularly, find out which title it is, write that down, and then select that title when I use Handbrake to rip it. Works like a charm. Incidentally, earlier I screwed up and I selected H.264 for the codec. That file was 2 gigs in size and much bigger than...
What size are your MPEG-4 files?
My standard MPEG-4's no bigger than a gig for most movies. I'm using straight Handbrake. I go into... There's the legacy preset called Classic.
Right.
And then what I'll do, because I want to have it look a little bit better, is I'll check two-pass encoding and turbo first pass. And it'll...
You know, what I was going to say, if you want...
About an hour.
Yeah, if you want it a little smaller yet, but still very, very good looking, is there's a program called Acid Rip.
Yes.
Okay. Get Acid Rip, do the same thing, do a two-pass... encode and check the 700 meg box, and what it does is it'll compress it down. It uses like DivX or something like that. It'll compress down to approximately 700 megs for the movie, and with the two-pass encoding, it looks really, really good. You know, you got a whole DVD in 700 megs. It works out very well that way.
And these usually play just fine on the link, or not the link for sure, but on the OSD, they usually play pretty well. Occasionally, it'll niggle out, and I think the problem is occasionally the link just gets so overwhelmed when it's streaming video, even from a hard drive. As long as if it recorded it, it plays it, you know, 100% fine. But if it's something like a DVD with a lot of action in it, it's just sometimes it's too much.
Yeah.
Not very often, though.
And see, now this brings another good foray into what are you using this to store it on? How much you using your brand new 1 terabyte drive that you got?
Actually, I've had a 320 gigabyte Western Digital, and that's actually what I'm ripping it to first, and then I copy it over to the 1 terabyte. So.
Yep. Now, and I just got my 1 terabyte drive too. I got a 1 terabyte NAS, Western Digital, my World Edition, the NAS. Nice.
Speaking of NASes, I wanted to get you guys' opinion. You know, my home server is my old workstation. Okay, it's a reliable box. I have a RAID 1 card in there. I have, you know, two 500 gig hard drives in there, mirrored off each other. It works okay. You know, my only gripe is it's a bit of a power hog. It uses up a lot of juice. So I was looking around at NASs, and I was wondering if you guys have any recommendations.
Yeah, I recommend the one that I have. The one I just got is the...
What do you have?
I got the new Western Digital 1 terabyte MyBook World Edition, and that means the World Edition means it's a NAS. They also have a 2 terabyte. World Edition out, which is either you can set it up in two different configurations. You can be mirrored,
1 terabyte or 2 terabytes of disk space, I believe. But these are green NASs, green hard drives. They have they're ultra low power drives. They have power saving features on there, so they consume really very very little power. They don't produce very much heat at all, so they're very very quiet. Seems to work like a top, man. Got all kinds of crap in it. The best part about my book is the software that's on it. It's really really nice. You can do obviously it runs Linux because it serves off everything in the world, right? You can do music shares on it, which will immediately share with your iTunes stuff, iTunes shared music stuff folders. It also does video that you can share out. There's some kind of video sharing software thing on there. If you drop your, you can stream videos off it right away. The setup on it will share out stuff via SIFS, AFS, which is Apple's file service, right? And it'll also let you do NFS natively.
That's what I want, NFS.
Yeah, and that's really, really cool, man. And it works, you know what I mean? Like, you click NFS and turn it on, and you can map your crap right in there. Lickety split. You can set up different user accounts that do different things, that have access to shares. You can turn on SSH on it. You can SSH into it too. So it does all kinds of crap, and it was really reasonably priced. I got mine for $180 in Delaware. It's probably a little bit more expensive in Delaware because there's no tax there. But I see them online for $169. You can probably get them cheaper than that if you put your nose to the grindstone and look around a little bit. But it's the My Book, or the Western My Book World Edition.
Yeah, I'm checking in there right now. Let's face it.
Well, it's got gigabit Ethernet too. I forgot to mention that. So
You have the one that's what, a 1 gig? You were saying.
Yeah, I got the 1 gig version. It comes out to be 900. Maybe it was 980 gig or something like that of usable space, which is really pretty good. You know what I mean? And it runs right along. And the only problem I have with it whatsoever is this is not a NAS that you want to put in your bedroom. The reason why, not that it's noisy or anything like that, the reason why this thing, it has this white LED array, okay, and it's like a Cylon LED array, right?
It's Western Digital thing.
Yeah, when it's working, it's got a Cylon LED array that goes up and down, and when it's not working, when it's in standby mode, the LED array fades in. Like, I don't know if you guys ever seen an Apple, on Apple computers, the white LEDs that fade in and out. Well, that's what this thing does, and they're brighter than shit. This thing Holy lights crap. Up my entire bedroom, you know what I mean, from this wow. array of white LEDs it has on there. So I have this old black pair of shorts that I just throw on it in front of it, so that it doesn't annoy the hell out of me all night long. But that's the only thing that I don't like about it, is I wish that there was some way. And then, you know what, in the configuration, there's a thing to turn off the LEDs for the indicator LEDs for when it's working and stuff. And I haven't tried that yet, but maybe if I do that, it'll turn all the LEDs off, and that would be really cool.
That seems to be a Western Digital thing. My two favorite ones are my two passports. I have hooked up to my laptop right next to me now. The blue one, which is, I think it's like the second generation one. It's a 320 gig. It's got a nice, big, bright, flashy white LED right by the USB cable. The new one, which is, by the way, they switched the cabling on the newer passports. The cabling is now micro USB instead of mini, but the LED is this teeny tiny little LED, and it's just bright enough that you can see it when you look at it. That's it. It doesn't light up the room.
But tell you what, this freaking bright, man. this is light up your damn house kind of thing. You know, if you have a kid that's afraid of the dark, put the damn thing in your kid's room, you know, because there never will be a problem after that.
Now, I got a Western
Union. I've been looking at some of the other brands. I saw this one called QNAP. Are you guys familiar with that one?
NAS.
Nope.
Yes.
The only thing I can tell you, dude, is that when I was getting my NAS, I looked for probably a week, and I looked at every damn NAS that I could find, and for the price and the feature set, this was the best one. It had the best ratings. Like, if you go down to Amazon and stuff and look at the ratings.
What is that, Samba Share?
What, the NAS that I have?
Yeah.
It does SIFS, NFS, AFS, and I don't know, shoot, it might even do something else for all I know.
Cool. Go
the
ahead.
The QNAP one I was looking at, the QNAP one that I was checking out, there's a couple different models. I was looking at the lower end ones, the Ford drive ones. It doesn't come with any drives. You got to throw your own drives in there, obviously. The lower end ones are running Marvel processors. You know, they're so it's basically
like a pogo plug.
Right, but they're very low power, and the specifications and what the thing could do is it seems pretty expansive. You can even run an Ansrus on there if you want. They have like a whole package thing when you can install this stuff on there. I was just wondering if anybody had it. It looks like a nice. They look like nice boxes.
What's it run like? OpenWRT or something?
No, it's Linux. It's its own thing.
Well, OpenWRT is Linux, but
yeah. Well, this is. I think it's BusyBox that's basing it on. But
right.
You can install full-blown Debian on it. I was looking at the Debian pages. And sure enough, you could put full-blown Debian on there if you wanted to.
I need to get something to replace my slug. Yeah, I got an NSLU2, which I still love to death, but that thing is so slow. I got a 750 gig drive. Actually, 750 gig, and I got a 120 gig drive. I got to run the actual. You can unslung it to the. To the external drive so that you can have more space for software. So I had an old 120 gig drive that was not doing anything but taking up space. So I used that. And the slug runs okay, but it's just getting old. It's 400 megahertz processor. You can run full-blown Debian on it, but it's a royal pain in the butt to get it installed.
Yeah,
basically
I'll put the link
to
run Debian on these.
Yeah, I need something like that, or and.
See, I didn't want to get mine to hack on it and do any weird shit. I just wanted it to be a really good NAS,
right?
And that's what this is. And like I said, with the green drives and stuff in it, it doesn't consume any power. It shuts off. I was in the standby mode when I'm not using it. It's pretty slick, man.
But when it's in standby, does it wake up automatically though?
Yes, it
does. When you mount it, cool.
Yep. Well, you can mount it and leave it mounted. It's just the drive goes to sleep. That's what the standby mode is.
Okay.
So it's also a low power deal, and the drive is a green drive, which is also low power, and it just goes to it's set to go to sleep.
Now you want another one?
You know what? I really do. I would love to have another
one
to mirror it. I would love it. You know what? The cool thing, I would love to have another one of these and put it at, like, my parents' house or something like that and then run an rsync script.
There you
and
go.
And rsync it to their house overnight and then have, that way I'd have all my stuff in different locations.
And let me tell you, that rsync would take forever, too.
No, because you do the first one with the drive school. And then you just take that drive over there and set it up on their stuff, and then you set up an rsync script, and it'll only do the delta. You know, you run the delta every night, which only takes a few minutes.
Do you guys run remote backups with Amazon S3 service at all?
No.
I've never tried it,
That's the other thing about the gym, possibly.
Yeah. I can vouch for that, the Spider Oak service that I reviewed last week. It's really cool, actually. It installs via a package, a Deb package, and basically you get 2 gigs for free, just like Dropbox. But you can have it automatically back up everything on a system, or you can back up just your home directory. And the other cool things you can do is you can share media with other people. They don't have to be using Spider Oak. Everything happens on Spider Oak over a SSL connection. I'm betting dollars and donuts are probably using Amazon S3. Because almost everybody is.
That's what Ubuntu One is using.
Right. Right. And with the Spider Oak 2, you can also upgrade it. It's like $100 for 100 gigs per year. Or $10 a month. So... And that's up to 100 gigs. Plus, one nice thing they do, say if you back up 2 folders and it has the same file in it, there will only be 1 copy of that folder, of that file, up on their server. So basically, it's not going to eat into your storage space. So, and you can back up, you can sync, like Dropbox, you can share. It even works, the sync is really cool in that it even works with external media. I had an external USB drive, and I set up a sync between like one of the internal folders or just with another machine. And basically, if I took that drive, detached it from my laptop, added a file to it, plugged it back in, it would automatically sync that file up to the other system. So, but the Spider Oak stuff it's pretty nifty. I like it. The guy who is the PR rep, used to be a PR rep for Joe Bourne, Johan, that's the one, Johan Body, who Gear Diary used to deal with, he set me up with that. And now, granted, I have a free account. I didn't go and pay for it, but it's pretty slick.
But, you know, how much is it, though? How much was it again?
It's $10 a month for 100 gigs or $100 a year.
For how much space? $100 a year for how much? For 100. All right, listen though. If you are going to pay $100 a year, go and get yourself an account at Bluehost.com. These are the guys that I use to host the TLTS.org. Website,
right.
FreeLinux.org, Linux for Christians, etc., etc., and so on and so forth. You know, Linux Planet, all of that shit. You get damn near unlimited file space and unlimited transfer bandwidth, and they give you a free domain, and you get thousands of email accounts that you can use, and it costs $100 a year. Right? Can't beat that with a stick. You just can't beat
it. How much storage?
Damn near unlimited. You know, they if you look at their site, I think it might even be unlimited now. But, you know,
well,
this
no,
is...
The only downside to that, though, is you'd have to write, like, an rsync script or something. But that's not a huge downside. That's the only one I could see, you know. Just an overnight rsync in your cron.
Rsync, automated FTP, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, whatever.
Unlimited hosting. Wow. I'm looking.
It's $100 a year, man. I've used these guys for years now, and I have never had a problem with them. You know what I mean? They
have to do that.
Guys are right on top of it. And plus, you know, if you want to do a website or something like that, they have all these automated package installs for you to do, you know, all kinds of different content
WordPress.
Management systems, WordPress, Drupal, you name it. They also do all kinds of other stuff, you know, mailing list things and just anything you can think of, right? You
and
really can't
be honest,
can't beat those guys.
I mean, other than media servers at home, media servers are the only thing I really want to set up at home. I don't want to set up a website at home, especially when I expect my family to use or my family to visit, because, you know, I have power outages. Like, just today, when I woke up this morning, the power was, it was on, off, on, off, on, off. You know, everything, you know, would, you know, if I had a server at home, even if I had it on UPS, you know,
well,
it'd be
I
a
tell
pain
you,
in the butt. If I was,
you know what, I tell you what,
I wanted to depend on. You know,
well, I'll tell you what, for the longest time, when we started the tech show, I hosted the files for the tech show at my house. And I ran it, you know, I ran it at my, on my server at my house where I ran my weblog and all kinds of good stuff. And I had a lot of fun doing that. You know, it's really neat seeing people download the stuff. But here's the downside to that. As needed as it is, hosting your own website at your house, the problem is when people visit your website at your house, they're leeching your damn bandwidth out and you can't go in and do anything else.
You
know what I mean?
And I imagine, in fact, you'd probably be violating terms of service in a lot of ISPs.
Yeah, and a lot of ISPs you do violate terms of service for that. But you know what? And you have people leeching your bandwidth off, and that means that you can't use it when you're home. And I like to use my bandwidth.
Right.
I have, you know, three people in my house that are heavy, heavy internet users, multiple computers on at a time in the house that are accessing stuff across the net. And actually, no, I don't even do Twitch because I just grab stuff off of my TiVo. But you know, there's all this multimedia stuff that you have on the internet now. You can watch YouTube stuff. You can listen to music off of this and that and the other thing, and you know all of that stuff. And you can do that when you don't have any when you don't have any bandwidth. Or outgoing bandwidth, like you can have a bazillion, you know, megabytes of. Funny, is it, did I tell you guys the Brazilian joke?
No, it's her.
No.
Okay. Make a long story short. There's this chick, this blonde chick, tells her friend one day that last night she slept with the. This chick tells her blonde. It. Last night she slept with a Brazilian man, and the chick goes, "Oh, you slut! How many is a Brazilian?" Anyway, so do you get it? Yeah. Okay. Here we go. How many is a Brazilian?
Bad.
So anyway, you can have a Brazilian megabytes worth of download bandwidth, but if you only have 1 meg up, you can't browse anywhere because you can't send. The you can't send the content provider that you're looking at directions as to what you want to look at, right? So you're sort of limited in that capacity, and your up bandwidth is what everybody that's looking at your stuff at your house is using. So it's very inefficient use of your home server to, you know, run your own blog and stuff at home. You really should, you know, just take my word for it and run it somewhere else, and then you can be really happy. So go to Bluehost. That.
And if you just want to, run a blog, just go to WordPress.com and set
That's
you up.
That's what I'm
going to
do. I think I'm just going to run WordPress. I already opened up one on WordPress.com, and I'm just going to export my posts to that one.
Yeah, the good thing about WordPress.com is they deal with the spammer stuff for you. You know, they run the
they do everything.
The WordPress
if you just
want
to post, if you just want to do blog posts, it's the way to go.
But WordPress deals with the spammer stuff for you. It's not.
That's right.
Like my installation of WordPress does it too, and I'm running on Bluehost. And not only does it do it for my blog, it does it for LinuxPlanets.org and LinuxForChristians.org and, you know, every other freaking site that I run too.
Here we go.
Plus, I get all of that storage space.
In Link, I just had that rip. I was working on that I accidentally did in H.264 that I redid in the just standard FFmpeg, MPEG 4. The H.264 was 2 gigs. The FFmpeg one was 800 meg.
Dude, I'm telling you.
That's good stuff.
try that acid, and man, they picked the 700 meg setting.
A laptop, my other laptop, just in the middle of copying a file, X quit. I don't know what's going on with that. And of course, I wasn't using a command line either. Even Nautilus.
But here, you know, what I wanted to mention to you, Pat, was that, and other people too, if you're really looking to run a server at your house, and you want a low power, quiet server, do what I did for a couple years here and get an old beat up laptop and run it off of that. Works like a top, man. You have automatic battery backup. They're real quiet. They're they use little power. Runs awesome. But if it were me again and I was going to do something like that, I would just, you know, I would have a website hosted somewhere else. Now, I happen to run servers at my house, but the servers that I run at my house are for me to do some virtual, they're for me to do some virtualization testing, and like I run my my internal infrastructure on VMs.
Well, you run
on a couple of
too,
servers. No, I used to a long time ago, but don't anymore. Nope. Used to a long time ago, but
well,
I don't anymore.
Right?
Yeah, I have a Grandstream. I use Infinix. Yep, a Grandstream phone connected through the internet to Infinix, which is a VoIP provider that's really, really cheap. In fact, I really don't even need that because we all have cell phones, but I guess that's just my, you know, I pay to have a home phone number that no one uses.
Yeah, we do too. I have the T-Mobile at home service, which you can't get anymore, and I like it. $10 a month, that's all I pay. It's awesome. They do. I've never had it go out completely, and never really had a problem with it. You know, it does what I need it to do. I hook up some Deck 6 phones to it. I don't even have it hooked to the home wiring. I just have those two cordless phones, and the second cordless phone has its own dock station. So it doesn't even need a cable there, just one cable. Works all of them. I'm just waiting for somebody to hack the HiPort device. It's Cisco HiPort device that T-Mobile uses. It actually has a SIM card in it. And basically, the way the T-Mobile at home works is it creates a secure connection to the GSM phone network. And once it does that, it's just the same as a cell phone, really. It just doesn't have all the problems that the cell phones have. You know, it's connected over a wire to the cell phone network. So, and the best part is the phones will pick up when you have a voicemail. They pick up there's voicemail and flash an idiot light, and it's good to go. I just don't really want to do a lot of server stuff at home. Media servers I set up, you know, I set up Samba shares for backing stuff up, but pretty much it. So, and I'm loving this. The only thing about this new drive I've got, and I don't know why I'm just bringing it up right now, is it's got this stupid CD stuff. They do a virtual CD on it that basically installs their smarterware crap. And when you first connect it to a Windows system, it'll automatically install that crap that I don't need. So I just go in and deactivated it with Windows virtual CD manager that comes with it. Deactivate it, I'm good to go, it doesn't come up. Western Digital Passport drives, I love them. They're nice little drives. So, mega storage on the run. In fact, I'll probably bring that one with me to Self, which I will be going to this year. Where's Dave at today?
I see him on IRC. Haven't heard Dan in a few minutes either.
I was just listening to you guys ramble on. I was pulling a Pat.
Yeah, we're good at that. No, Pat's pulling an Allen.
I said some stuff. I brought up the Naz.
I really need a better Naz, to be honest, than what I've got now. I might have to look at those, the one Link has.
I really like it, man.
I'd like to have one that's expandable, though.
This one is. It's got a USB port on it. You can just plug another drive in.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Can you get shell access to it?
Yes, you can.
Cool.
Native right, shell access to hack it or anything. You just go in and say enable SSH access, and boom, you have SSH access.
See, and that's great for if you plug in that external drive and don't have it set up, but you got stuff on it that you want to copy it to it, SSH in, copy it to the drive, and you're good to go. Because it should, I imagine it auto mounted. It just may not make it available in the NAS yet. So I don't want to have my Neuros Link on. I've got a 1 terabyte Western Digital Elements drive hooked up to it. Eventually, I'm going to basically mirror my portable with that one, and I'll take the stuff that I got on it. I basically will kind of sync them up together, and then I'll have the portable copy with me all the time. So. I probably should just do an rsync on those. Do a bidirectional rsync once I get everything on it that I already have. So, I've pretty much been given the go ahead to email the folks at Juju, but I hope I have better luck than you do. Just so you know, though, Link, though, just because they said no right away doesn't mean anything. It sounds like they're open to it. That's all I'm saying.
They didn't say no right away. They said that they didn't have any review units. But they're shipping,
and
so they can't tell me they don't have any review units if they're shipping.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. So, what is that, media@juju.com?
Yep, the
is
Juju.
That what it was? Okay.
Media. It's in the IRC, but it's media@thejuju.com. Tell them to send me a damn review unit. They send it to me. I'll send it to you afterwards, and then you can send it back. That way, they'll get a review on the Tech Show. They'll get a review on Gear Diary, and then they can have it back if it sucks.
Yeah. HP should send this one too. When Airs comes out.
Absolutely.
That one looks pretty slick too. Anyway.
47 gigs worth of TiVo crap I gotta watch. See, now I have a problem. You're ripping all your DVDs, Joel, and you've got like 30 of them, and I would love to do that to my DVD collection. I have 600.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You literally need to get like you should probably write a script with Handbrake. You probably could write a script with Handbrake, the command line version of Handbrake, and just have it have a system with two DVD drives in it. And when one's done, spit it out while it starts working on the other one. That way you can get the next one ready. And just have
I'm sure I could. Yeah, I'm sure I could do it that way, but it would still take me months to do it, you know?
That's like I've got the first season of Battlestar Galactica on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not going to rip that one. Just because there's I don't know how many DVDs in there. And it's like two episodes per DVD. There's five DVDs.
Is this the original Battlestar Galactica or the stupid one?
No, wait. The new one wasn't stupid.
Yes, it was.
The season was good. No.
Yeah, the first season was the only one that was good. And it was only most of the first season. Then it was a giant soap opera.
I do want to get the Cylon head box set. You've seen that, right? That thing is sweet. Yeah, the box set for the old series, comes in a Cylon head.
Cool.
Old school Cylon head. Yeah, it's really cool. I'd like to get one of those. But yeah, I've got all kinds of stuff on this thing. So yeah, I think my little projector will shoot that. Well, yeah, but can't talk. I think what I'm ripping it to, I can just take the movies off of that and put them on a micro SD, and then plug them in that little mini projector I reviewed and view it on that.
That's pretty cool.
Because, yeah. That projector is kind of cool. It's a little Elcoff thing. Got a little battery rechargeable micro SD slot.
Well, make sure you load that sucker up when you come down to self, so we can watch some movies.
I need to get another micro SD for it. The 2 gig one. I have to look. Maybe the 2 gig one's in my son's old phone. I have to look at. I need to get a bigger micro SD for it. That would be kind of cool. But yeah, you've seen it. I brought with me the OLF this year.
Yep.
So. Yep. I could. You know, actually, I wouldn't even need to bring. You know what? I just thought I can just bring my Neuros OSD and plug it into that. It will take a standard S-video out. I need to buy another one of those Neuros OSDs, man. Those things are too nifty. I mean, they're
awesome.
Only standard definition, but I like mine.
Yeah, I use mine all the time. I love it.
I'll download videos and put it on there. I'll watch, you know, I'll take DVD rips, put it on there. Another thing I'll do is I got it connected such that I can record off my DVR, because I have a Time Warner provided DVR, record right off onto that. And I'm running the OSD NG firmware too, which is a newer firmware, lets you do more. With that firmware, they actually let you create a swap file on the compact flash card, so it doesn't get under the memory crunch near as often. You ever secure shell into yours and look at all the?
I did a couple of times, but I don't anymore.
There's some really cool stuff available in Lua packages. You can VNC into it. The video won't come through, but the interface parts will on VNC. So you can kind of have a Wi-Fi remote for it. So, and a few other things like that. But it's just like on the slug. You can actually install a MediaWiki. Unslung. It's slower than hell, but it works with MySQL and everything. So, but I actually got a little interesting Android tidbit today. A lot of people say Android's only for the geeks. I have at least three of my friends that aren't geeks. One bought a Nexus One. My pastor, the senior pastor at my church, he bought a Droid. And I think there's one more that kind of surprised the hell out of me. But the non-geeks are buying Android. I don't care what the iPhone people say.
I see.
I think the reason they're
a lot of Android lately at the train station.
Yeah.
A lot of people using them.
Oh, so. I see it all the time. I see Android all the time. So I mean, I think a lot of the reason that people are buying Android phones, usually the ones that I see that are buying them are Verizon people, because the Droid is the best phone that they have right now. It's better than any of the Windows Mobile crap, the Blackberries, better than that. And you know, it's just really cool stuff. Now Sprint's gonna have a really cool one. Have you seen the Evo yet, Pat?
Nope.
That's gonna be cool. The HTC Evo has 4G
integrated.
HTC's doing
awesome stuff, man. They're
yep.
Nice stuff.
Well, that the Evo is essentially the HD2, but with Android. It's got two cameras on it. One of them is 8 megapixels. The other one's facing you, so you're supposed to be able to do video calls on it. 4G connection. Wi-Fi, you can connect to up to 5 people out of the box via Wi-Fi to this phone to get internet. And it has HDMI out.
That's awesome.
Plug your phone in, watch a video on your TV. And if anybody at HTC wants anybody to review it, they can send one to me and send one to Link.
Absolutely.
Activated, of course. Yeah, because I don't want to pay for all the bandwidth I'm going to use.
All right, so what days, again, is the Southeast Linux Fest?
Look at the calendar, I know.
12th, 13th, 14th. If I am not mistaken. We have not.
You know, what's really weird is I'm right on the southeastlinuxfest.org main page. And do you know what I see? I don't see a date of when the hell it is.
That's very bad.
Register here, contact us. Oh, okay, there it is.
It's right on the
right
front.
In front of me. Yeah, right in front of me where I'm not looking.
That's the mayor. 13th. Well, you consider it's 11th, 12th, and 13th.
11th, 12th, and 13th, right.
Not the 14th, sorry. I know it was the 12th and 13th.
Now, with my friend and Texture listener Ed Little, we're riding down together. I don't know if Mordancy is going to ride in the van with us or not. But, because he said he might be bringing somebody else. So, but I'm heading out, starting there on Thursday the 10th, and I will get there early Friday morning. Sometime Friday morning, I should say. Not too early. So, and then we're going to leave Sunday night, but we're only going to go to my mom's house to crash out. Mom's house is right on the way. I asked Mom if it's okay if Dave Yates spends the night there on his way up to OLF, and no. Ah, no, that might be too creepy. But, yeah, we drive right past Mom's house. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great time. Good speakers so far. Heck, you got both Dan Washko and Pat Davila speaking at Selfish here.
We'll probably be speaking at the same time. That's the way it'll work out.
Probably.
The first thing in the morning, too.
And John O'Bacon will be speaking. So
oh, who cares about him?
Moon John. You want to come. You want to show him your ass. Come on.
He's already seen it.
Runs Linux, you know.
What's that?
At least Jono runs Linux, you know.
Except when he's recording,
right.
Then he runs.
Yeah.
Windows and Cubase.
Yeah. A lot of.
I just heard him on the last Sloss saying that he needs to set up Ardor. I think he does. I really do. Past time.
Play us out, Dan. There you go. I did my Alan impression. That's my Alan impression. Gotta go to bed. Play us out.
I'm gonna get up early. Dan, play us out.
I have for us tonight Carry the World by Jameson Young from the Shifting Sands of a Blue Car.
Doba?
No, I didn't do Doba. Sorry, I forgot. So this is it, gentlemen. I will talk to you. We'll all be back next week. Same tech time, same tech channel, baby. Yeah, damn
baby.
Here it is.
Night.
Your song of the week.
Nighty night.
Night.
I'm Austin bound, get my feelings checked at the door.
That's right, Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to texaslinuxfest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound, get my eyes set on the price.
Can we talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Deep Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Daddy has a gun. That's it. That's the end, people. Another show in the bag.
I sold WordPress on my laptop, okay? And I created a new database locally. And I see export. It's in there. It works. It's still there. So now I'm trying to connect to the database on my server. I don't think it's connected correctly. You know the DB host.
Yeah. Does it give you an error message as to why it doesn't connect?
Yeah, let me try it from the web server. I'll try what it says. It's error establishing a database connection. That's where I have the DB host. Normally you put like local host on there.
Yeah.
If it's on the same machine. I put the IP address in there.
That sounds right.
I can connect through MySQL administrator from the machine I'm trying to connect from.
You can connect from regular MySQL command line to it from your laptop, right?
I haven't tried that.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
How would you do that? Normally, when you connect locally, you do -QL-U space root dash P, right?
You would specify -H for host.
Oh, and then put the IP address?
Yeah.
There you go.
Let me see if I can do that.
Oh, don't tell me anymore, Joel. Just lie to me and make me cry. My foot itches.
Anyway, I need to work on getting some ingredients for the goodies I'm going to make. Chex Mix.
Yeah, I can connect to my database on my server. Let me try.
Is it possible?
Is the user?
Huh?
Let me try connecting with the user from the blog.
Oh, 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 oh.
So you,
what,
Dave or Dan? are you and Chad riding together to South?
I'm riding Chad this all the way to South. East Linux Fest.
There you go, man.
Well, I got to drive out to pick him up. He's on the way anyhow. So I'll have a 3-hour solo ride, and then unless anybody else in the area is going.
What about Al?
Who?
What's the guy I rode with you last year?
Art.
Al or Art? Yeah, Art.
I don't know if he's going. I don't know if he said he was going or not. I think he said he wasn't going. But then again, he didn't go to OLF, so I don't know if he's going or not. I have to talk to him.
Freaking
Pat, is it working?
Now I'm getting a password denied.
You know what I'm thinking?
Denied. I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
Yeah, your user can't connect off out of localhost.
Well, look, what it is I for my blog database, the users that I use to connect to the WordPress software to the back-end database is not a regular user. I think what I need to do is I need to give access to that username, blog user.
What you need to make sure that user, that user account needs to, you need to grant that user account permission to access the database from anything, from your IP address. It probably only has access to get to the database through localhost.
Localhost, yeah.
How do I do that?
Database setting, isn't it?
You would just grant whatever permissions, probably all permissions. Grant all on your database. Grant all on database dot asterisk to user at the IP address with identified by the password. You might want to double check the get the syntax for the grant. I think that's it, but it should put another entry in the table. Yeah, it should put another entry in the table to allow you to access from the IP address of your laptop.
I see. I don't even get that.
And the export points to an export.php.
Yeah, I don't
under your wp-admin directory.
wp-admin. Let me go into my box and take a look. Danny, you running WordPress?
Danielson.
Yeah, I'm running WordPress. Link, can you turn yourself up?
No. Damn you.
Then talk louder. What's the problem with your WordPress, Pat?
What distro are you running on?
Slackware.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. For some reason, on my Ubuntu server, the version of WordPress I'm running, I updated to the absolute latest. I've got, the version that's just about to come out. Updated everything. For some reason, I do not have the export function on the dashboard.
Is that better?
That'd be good enough, I guess.
How about that?
It sounds the same. Hold on.
Say it now.
You're still a little faint compared to everybody else. Where do you see the export function? Where is it supposed to be?
It's supposed to be on the dashboard. It's supposed to be a tools tab.
Oh, you don't have a tools?
No.
It's like right under users. It says tools. It's the second last menu item.
Yeah, I don't have that. I have options. I've got import.
How about now?
That's better.
That's better, okay.
Yeah, that's a lot better. Import? Wait, you have options? Where the heck do you have options? I don't have options.
Want me to send you a screenshot of what I have?
What version of WordPress are you running?
He's only running one minor reversion track from me. 291.
Wow,
what the hell is that?
What was that?
I don't know. That's better.
Who's that?
It's me. My mic still sounds all right?
You sound fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I cannot find it for some reason.
Can you find that file, Pat? The export.php?
No, there isn't. I'm in WP admin, and there is no export PHP file. I should be able to just pull that in, right? If I pull down the source and just dump it in there?
I would think so.
That's weird because he's got ops. Do you have an options on your menu link?
No.
Neither do I.
I have dashboard, write, manage, link, presentation, plugin, users, option, and import.
I've got dashboard, post, media, links, pages, appearance, plugins, users, tools, and settings.
Yeah, that's what I have.
I wonder if there's a configuration file that's like an old configuration file sitting around.
Well, you know what you can do, Pat, to check that out is the latest WordPress and install it in a separate directory on your machine. You know, just a brand new clean installation, and then just point it to your existing database.
I guess I could try that.
And see if that does it for you. You know what I mean? If that does it for you, then you can export it under the clean install. If it's just pointed to your database, it should work fine.
I'm just wondering what the hell it is. I mean, it's not even. I don't even have the file in there.
I don't know. That sounds kind of weird to me. Because my WordPress has been like this for several revisions.
I'm going to try that.
That's what I would do.
I can point it to my database on my server, right? It doesn't have to be on the same machine.
As long as you have access to it, yeah. Well, you like installing it on another machine and then...
Yep.
Make sure MySQL is hooked up so that you can get into it remotely.
I'll try to get a remote. I'm pretty sure I'm
able to. Wow, this is crazy. Right? I was just looking at the tools, and they say something about gears on the tools, improving your web browser.
Right.
And it's at gears.google.com. And I go to install it just to check it out, and it says, your browser is not supported, and I'm running it on Chrome. Where is everybody tonight?
Well, Alan's
we're
he's not going to show. We're going old school tonight.
Alan's what?
He's not going to show tonight.
Why not?
I don't know.
I don't see an email from him.
I do.
Where?
I did.
The tech show?
Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen, and who's this Glen guy? Mountainside. The summer's gone, and all the flowers dying. Tis you, must go, and I must bide. Oh yeah, there we go. It's hot down here tonight.
Well, you had to go move down south, man. Sing it, Michelle! I'm gonna give my wife a microphone. She'll be an intro music. Charlie, give me a soda, please.
You give me a soda.
She's like, hell no. Get your own soda,
she's
old
over
man.
There with her. She's over there with grooving to the music, you know. You know how some people march to the beat of their own drummer? Yeah. Well, my wife sings the tune of her own creation, I guess. Because it doesn't sound like anything anybody else has ever sung before.
That's nice.
Yes, my loving wife can hit an entire octave in one note and not even know it. Sing it, baby!
Last time to play that one. That's this weekend, isn't it? Saturday?
Yep. Bada 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 bada. That makes sense.
Over
no, it doesn't.
Killarney. My mother sang a song to me in tones so sweet and low.
That's right, Texas has its own community run Linux Fest for 2010
in Austin, Texas.
Go to TexasLinux.org for details. Remember, get
the song. Why am I not?
Why are you not one?
Psst, psst, oi, over here. Do you want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi, come back. Oh. I have to find some.
What the heck?
Oh, with all that oi stuff, huh?
That's one of the promos, and I'm trying to figure out why. Why I got.
Not working because they're speaking some funny language.
Da 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 da.
Psst, psst, oi, over here. Do you want to buy it?
Nope.
It's the center of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain.
New.
I have to find something to do with this. One minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for
just a simple
free lady and free thinking. It's the second
in her good old Irish
organized by Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast.
And I'd give the world if she could.
First and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit onkcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Enjoy.
join us for the 2010.
Now watch this.
Linux Fest, as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in GNU/Slash/Sat.
Hey, I'm watching.
The overwhelming response last year. This year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
What the heck is going on?
It sounds like you're playing promos to me, man.
Yeah, but the problem is the promos aren't coming through.
Parties featuring dual core as well as the guys from History Cypher 3000 and Rift Tracks.
They're not going through to the stream.
You do it old school. Play them on another computer. Hold your microphone up to the speaker.
I'll get the promos. We'll record. It's like the complete opposite of the way it's always worked.
Yeah, usually they go through the stream and I can't hear them.
Yeah.
Ah, she's going away. We're not going to be able to use her for the intro music. Well, we've been talking about you for like 10 minutes now. You weren't humming. You were humming with words. That's not humming, that's singing.
There's an RC saying that you can hear the promo.
Once again celebrate Linux and open
oh, they can?
GNU/Sat. Due to the overwhelming response.
All right, then. Looks like we are ready to start.
Yeah.
It's a hot one tonight. Alright. No, I didn't start you yet.
Bring back memories of us all crowded in your old office. Sweat pouring down us. Giant fan on.
Ugh.
Gasping for air is the stink engulfs us.
Yeah. The stench crawls from
the
man's behind.
All right, here we go. Everybody ready?
Do it.
Do it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm Austin bound, get my feelings checked.
That's right, Texas has its own community-run Linux Fest on April 10th, 2010 in Austin, Texas. Go to TexasLinuxFest.org for details. And remember, get your Linux on.
I'm Austin bound,